Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you are listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. And I have my very deep voice on today for you. It's going to be a blessed time. You know, I tell you, once a year, you get this beautiful deep voice. I wasn't born with it, but praise God when it does show up. I'm able to serenade those out there with the gospel and let y'all know that God loves you very much. We have a very special guest today on the show with us, and I'm just joking around and playing, and he's a great guy, Mr. Daryl McManus. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. It's just an honor, privilege to be with you on the broadcast.
I don't think you've ever been with me on the show, huh?
No, very first time.
Okay, I'm a different character when I'm on the radio. I'm my same personality, but I'm just more amplified.
That's cool.
But we are here. I am battling a cold and winning in Jesus' name. You know, I tell everybody this. The devil needs to be losing in your life, and Jesus needs to be winning. So you got to look at yourself every day and look at that mirror and say, is the devil winning or is Jesus winning? And if you answer the devil, then you need to change some things. Amen, brother?
That's right.
And
that's right. We
are putting together Pure Fire Bible Institute. That's what Daryl's visiting here today. We shot all yesterday, and we finally got something in the can.
That's right.
it took a while because we were working with some new equipment and God's doing great things, and we're glad to have Brother Daryl. We're doing what I believe is the 12 spirits.
That's
seducing
right.
The church.
That's
we're going
right.
to talk a little bit about that today, and just giving you some updates. My new book, Igniter of Faith, has just released. I want to tell you what, it's exciting to see that this is my first book with Whitaker House as an author with them, and it's an honor. Of course, it's amazing, and it's a book that I'm sure that's going to change your life. We've had plenty of miracles that have happened in just in putting that book together and just having it done. I don't know if you write or if you're used to writing. It's not easy just sitting there and knocking something out. It's not easy putting words on a page. You get that blank page look. And I'm always asking my author friends that come on the show, how do you do it? And it's good to have different study habits and stuff. I had one author, Daryl, he told me this. He said that he's a very, he's in Hollywood. He writes scripts. He's been writing scripts forever. He taught science and everything. He's very systematic. And he gets up at 8 a.m. He'll write for a couple of hours, and then he'll go for a walk. Then he'll come back and write for another couple of hours. And then he'll take a nap. Or then have lunch. Then he'll go take a nap. And at 3 o'clock he wakes up again. And he writes. He rewrites what he wrote that morning until about 6 or so. And then has dinner. A light dinner, he said. Because he weighs himself down and he can't write. And then he'll go and work until the evening. Whenever. He said there's no time frame there. Just whenever. He just goes and works till. And I'm like, man, that's a beautiful life. Because in between that, he's doing interviews and TV shows and shooting movies. And I'm like, I am not that disciplined. Me is Tuesday nights. I got to tell you, Tuesday nights, I can be in front of the computer. I watch NCIS and whatever else is on channel CBS at that time. And then I jump to NBC at 9 and watch Chicago Fire Department or whatever it's called, and Chicago Fire. But I will sit there and I will sit in front of that computer and I will hammer it out till about 11 or 12 at night. I can knock out. And then when I'm in book mode where I know I got to get a book out every night, about 7 or 8 for me, right after dinner, I pretty much get in there and I write. Now, how about for you? What works for you, Brother Daryl?
Oh, just nothing consistent.
Yeah.
Some of my books have come from my teaching series.
Okay.
Because I'm an in-depth teacher. And now this 12 Spirits Seducing the Church, I did a lot of writing on this one. And so I have to have inspiration. You know, I'm more moved by when I'm just actually writing, the Holy Spirit will quicken me, and then it flows.
It does.
Yes.
Now, you have some unique titles.
Yes.
Okay, so the first one is what?
What You Didn't Know About God's Throne, Let It Out of Your Box.
And so that one's available now.
That's right.
And that's through Banner Books, and it's available also at anywhere, Amazon, Barnes Noble, Books and I think it's called Books and Store, or Christian Books and Store, something like that as well. It's always in stock. Sometimes our books are out of stock at Amazon, so you got to go elsewhere. Barnes & Noble sells them as well. And you can always get them from your website. What's your website?
That's right. Just DarrellMcManus.com. DarrellMcManus.com.
Hey, man. And I told Darryl that we're going to get a show done, even though I have a cold and I hope I'm coming across fine. But today I'm a lot better than I was yesterday.
Amen.
And Darryl's testify about that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And we pushed through yesterday. And I don't know, but if you ever get very congested and your nose is really stuffed up, you need to visit Tin Roof, and you need to try the spicy habanero barbecue sauce.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
It'll clear you up in a heartbeat. And I had that. Everything just was fine after that. It opened up my nasal and passageway, everything like that. But I tell you, Igniter Faith, What You Didn't Know About God's Throne, these books like that are books that are from years of faith and prayer.
That's right.
And these books have been stored up for quite some time in our spirits, and God has taken his time to reveal it. I tell you, Igniter Faith, and you can talk about God's Throne, but Igniter Faith took me about 6 years. It's five years of mission trips, 3 to 5 years of healing services, and then a lifetime of understanding and seeing how men of God work in the faith. And that's what's all in Igniter Faith. And I'm sure the revelation that you got on God's throne is something similar.
Oh, absolutely. Years. Years of study and prayer and just suddenly, one day, the Lord connected three things for me. He showed me that God, that his throne is so big that he couldn't show one man this side of heaven the whole thing. And so when you look at Ezekiel's chapter 1 and chapter 10, Ezekiel is seeing the throne coming down.
Mm.
He sees the underneath view. And the four cherubim, each with a wheel, are carrying it. And as he starts getting further revelation, as it comes down to the earth, the wheels touch the ground. God's throne has wheels. Daniel tells us that.
Yeah.
Its wheels are fire. Well, I didn't know that each cherub was in charge of the wheel, and the Father's sitting on the throne driving it. Well, then you go to the book of Revelation, John, there's no cherubim ever mentioned there, no wheels. He sees the only title these have are living creatures. And these living creatures each have a different face. Each of the cherubim have four faces. Every side is a different face. And the key in Revelations 4 and 5 is around the throne. You never see anything beneath it or above it. And then the Lord brought me to Isaiah 6. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And then the key to Isaiah is above the throne stood seraphim. I never heard anybody bring this out, that there's a place above God's throne to stand. You never see seraphim mentioned in the book of Revelation. John never saw them because he didn't see that view. Mm. Ezekiel never saw seraphim. Seraphim means burning one. So that the fact that the throne has levels and that it moves, and that, you know, just a very brief synopsis is that There are several different Hebrew words for praise, but in Psalm 22:3, there's only one type of praise that God will inhabit or enthrone, and that's Tehillah. Tehillah is when we get beyond singing a song with the words on the screen. We actually enter heaven's praise. Once we enter heaven's praise, then heaven and God's throne has a right to come to the earth. And when that throne comes, there's fire, there's miracles, and there's creative power. I mean, raising the dead, you know, I mean, comes in when we enter that realm. Amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And that's available to every Christian.
So the throne can come at any time?
At any time. To any house, to any prayer room. Amen. Yes.
All right, so we're going to go over God's throne today. It just seems like it's starting to hit pretty good. What are some other things that we probably don't understand about God's throne?
Well, we don't understand that, you know, for years it's all I heard preached, and I was very hesitant, David, to bring forth this revelation publicly, because I heard no minister on the planet bringing this out. Mm. Finally, the Lord gave me confidence. He said, "Son, the reason why is because I want you to bring it out." Mm. And I had a vision. I had two visions. I've had very few visions in my life, and one of the visions was we were in intense worship, and I saw the throne, the monstrosity of it, actually coming down into the midst of that worship meeting. That changed me forever. The second vision, we were having awakening meetings in Conroe, Texas.
Okay.
And we were meeting in the McCullough Junior High in one of their auditoriums. So we would drive from Hallettsville, Texas. I was pastoring Christ the King Church then. Now we're traveling. And we were driving the church van. My wife Cindy was in the passenger seat. It was a 12-passenger van. I was driving about 70 miles an hour on Highway 77 North, heading to Schulenburg. My youngest son Joshua was asleep. And suddenly, I have never had an experience like this. I knew it was the Father. It wasn't Jesus. It was the Father, and he was riding something. And he was kicked back laughing, and he had the reins of some type of a creature. And it shook me to the degree that I let go of the steering wheel. Now listen to this. I'm taking off my seatbelt at 70 miles an hour, and I'm trying to get out of the door. And
my
wife, Cindy, is going haywire. What are you doing?
That's not when you're caught up in it.
that's how far I was caught up in the Spirit. I wanted to get to my Father. And the Father quoted something to me. He said, "I mount the cherub. I mount the cherub."
Wow.
Wow. I said, "What? What?" He mounts the cherub. And I said, I just saw him. He said, "I mount the cherub." And she said, "Get a hold of the steering wheel. I'll look it up." She had her laptop, and she found two places in the scripture, 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, and Psalm, the 18th chapter, where the Father actually rode a cherub.
Wow.
And flew. And with the Lord showed.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. And it's in the Bible. And when did he do that? When David was in trouble and Saul was trying to kill him, he cried out to God. God got angry. He bowed the heavens. He came down. And that shook me. I said, the Father hasn't been just sitting on a throne thousands of years. He's moving.
That's what people, you know, that's the thing that a lot of people has the misconception.
Exactly.
That he's just sitting there and watching you every day, just looking at you. And
he's not.
Like on a video screen.
Exactly. Because that's what I heard preached.
Yep.
And so the Lord said, I didn't know it then, but later he said, "I came down for you." We were under one of the greatest attacks in our ministry. And I've been ministering over 40 years. At that time, the enemy was trying to snuff us out. And God the Father heard our cry, and he came down to rescue us. And I was so shook up by that, I had to pull over on the side. Cindy drove the rest of the way, it wasn't Conroe, it was the Woodlands. That's where McCullough Junior High is.
Wow.
And I was weeping the whole trip. And the throne came in that meeting that night. Miracles happened. The power of God came in that junior high and shook the place.
Wow, that's awesome.
And the Lord showed me that there are times, there are four cherubim, each with a wheel, that are carrying the throne. They're carrying the glory. When you see the glory, the throne's there, and the cherubim are carrying, but the Father's on the throne driving it. He's hilarious. God's not a stick in the mud. The Father's not just sitting up there. Oh, no. I mean, and there are times when he will get on one of those cherubs and fly and come down, and he'll rescue. And he's still doing that today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Mm. That's amazing. Tell us some of the miracles that happened at that the elementary.
Powerful, miraculous healings of miracles, and and people coming to Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, God's healing power. When that level is there, we see creative miracles happen, and then when we had a move of God break out in two different churches, and one of those is Milano, Texas, ended up being 40 services.
Wow!
And then we had a move of God break out in Deer Park two times. One was 4 weeks, the other one was 3 weeks. And according to Pastor Brian Morrison, and he said in 39 years of ministry, he saw more people saved, filled with the Spirit, and healed than any other ministry. That this is his words that had come in. And there was some major healing ministries that had come into this church in that time. Some of the miracles are as follows. 85-year-old woman with a broken back. The Lord instantly healed her back. She put her cane up, came back the next night. She came up and said, I want tongues. Boom. She got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she had one of her eyes, the eye doctor said, no light will ever come through this eye, period. It's impossible.
Wow.
God started opening that eye. She started seeing black and white. Then she started seeing color pictures, and they were becoming clear in that eye that was medically impossible in this 85-year-old lady. Another man was one of the major workers, deacons in the church. He had a bulging disc in his neck, and according to his testimony, these are things that happen when the throne comes in. He said laser. He felt like a laser beam going into the back of his neck, and it pushed that disc in. And I kept checking with him months later. This man was completely healed. I mean, to this day, it never came back. No reoccurrence.
Wow.
Here's another astounding miracle. I was in one of the services. All of a sudden, I see this distinguished couple come in to the church. This is in Deer Park, Texas, Church of the Living Water. And now Brother Brian oversees it. He's got a full-time pastor. And so they come in and sit down, and the healing anointing's there. I mean, there's always miracles when the throne's there. Mm. You never have to wonder. Because when the throne's there, the fire's there. The glory's there. And you see, God is fire. When Ezekiel looked up at the throne, he saw from his waist up and his waist down was fire. God, our God, when it says our God is a consuming fire, you know, the reason why God is light is because he's fire. Mm-hmm. And where there's fire, there's light. And so if you're going to be hanging out with God, you're going to be on fire.
Absolutely.
That's why Pure Fire Bible Institute, what a name. I mean, because this is not your average Bible school.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, not only are you going to learn, you're going to have impartation. And so this last testimony, all of a sudden, this lady, she comes up. I didn't know exactly what was wrong with her. And I'll ask people at times, hey, do something you couldn't do. Would you know if the miracle took place? Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And see, all of a sudden, she starts moving. She's not in pain. Still didn't know what was wrong with her. Well, after the service, the husband, very distinguished man, comes charging towards me. Well, you don't know. You know, did I do something to offend the husband? You know, didn't have any idea. He said, that's my wife, and I'm a chiropractor. And she had torn meniscus, and he spelled it. I had never even heard the term. That's the knee pad.
Oh, wow.
And he said there was nothing I could do as a chiropractor. She was going to have surgery, and God completely healed her. And she was going up and downstairs, no pain. So these are some of the miracles that took place when the throne came in.
Wow. Now, how can people get the book?
Well, they have to do is go to the website, darylmcmanus.com. And you can order your copy today. And if you want an ebook now, just go to christianbook.com. If you just start typing my name, just go MCM, my name will pop up. The only McManus that comes up at christianbook.com.
Yeah.
And you'll see Daryl McManus, and you'll see the ebook for this book and also the 12 Spirits Seducing the Church. And they're available right now.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to be right back. We're going to have a little bit of a commercial here. And as soon as we get a few of those running, we will come back in just a few minutes.
A new study suggests that being overweight might not be all your fault after all. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you more in just a moment.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy, but it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Think twice before blaming yourself or someone else for being overweight. A new study suggests a common childhood virus could be the culprit. Researchers found that children exposed to adenovirus 36, an infection that causes short-term gastrointestinal and respiratory symptoms, weighed an average of 52 pounds more than children who were never infected. Researchers believe this fat virus increases the body's fat cells and makes it harder for the body to break down mature fat cells later. The result is that people affected by the virus store more fat overall. So go easy on the next overweight person you see. Diet and exercise may not work as well for them as they do for you. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht. More news and information at KatherineAlbrecht.com.
Is your teenager easily bored? Do activities that used to bring him pleasure no longer delight him? Does your teen often appear to be lethargic or even depressed? Hi, I'm Trace Embry with a tip from Shepherd's Hill Farm. There's a good chance your teen is experiencing a condition known as anhedonia. Anhedonia is not ADD, ADHD, or depression, although the symptoms are very often mistaken as such. Anhedonia is a destruction of the pleasure center in the brain, which often comes as a result of today's unbridled multitasking on any number of electronic gadgets and other entertainment vehicles. Unfortunately, medication instead of moderation is being given to our kids as a quick fix for the symptoms. The good news is that the pleasure center can rebuild itself, but you as a parent are going to have to be proactive.
Learn more about this topic at shfteens.org. Shepherd's Hill Farm is here to serve hurting families with teens in crisis. If you have a teenager with behavioral issues, we can help. Contact us at shfteens.org.
A 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen.
A second look at sports often takes a look into the hook and bullet sports world and the humor that goes with them. A Sunday school teacher asked Johnny, "Do you believe Noah did a lot of fishing when he was on the ark?" "No way, Jose," he said. "You only had two worms." You know, fish and men are much alike. They both get in trouble when they open their mouth. Yet it was the Lord who said to all of us, "Be ye fishers of men, because everyone is going to have to live someplace forever." And remember, many of Christ's disciples were fishermen. Something to think about, okay, as we go about this day. Now, for more fish stories, go to asecondlookatsports.org. This is Dwight Allen, your sports chaplain of the year, for a 60-second look at sports.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection.
Understanding the times we live in and knowing what to do. Here's Trace Embry.
Is the term Christian rock a contradiction in terms? Have we parents ever stopped to understand exactly what the word rock and Christian really mean when put together? Isn't it like saying giant midgets or dry water? They're soft rock, light rock, just plain old rock, hard rock, acid rock, and even death metal rock. And they all have a Christian counterpart. The lyrics are the only distinguishing difference, and that only when they can be understood. Just the fact that we use the terms hard or harder should sound an alarm. It's no secret that the harder the rock, the more bizarre the atmosphere it produces. How hard or how punk or how death does Christian rock have to be before parents connect the dots that it isn't only the terms that are contradictory to a biblical worldview, but it is too often the outcome and behavior it produces also.
To hear more helpful insight for today's culture from Trace Embry, visit LicenseToParent.org. That's LicenseToParent.org.
I hear many youth experts talking about the importance of giving our teenagers more freedoms to spread their wings and discover their place in the world. What I don't hear much of are the contingencies that ought to be in place before these freedoms are allowed to be enjoyed. Hi, I'm Trey Sambry with a heads up from Shepherd's Hill Farm. Why would I carte blanche give my teenager certain liberties simply because he's turned a certain chronological age? Parents need to determine if Junior's emotional and spiritual maturity are up to snuff to the freedoms his chronological maturity are expected to bring him. If not, parents need to reassess those freedoms. If Junior hasn't yet proved he can exercise self-restraint with a short leash, there's no reason to believe he won't hang himself with a long one. Slowly feed him more rope as he responsibly handles the rope he's already been given.
Shepherd's Hill Farm is a Christ-centered, biblically-based outdoor therapeutic residency program and school for troubled teens. If your teen is heading down the wrong path, we can help. Contact Shepherd's Hill online at shfteens.org.
Today's girls face many pressures in today's world, and the technology has taken it to a whole new level. Meet Bryn, Amber, Morgan, Maya, Jamie, and Alex, six extraordinary girls from Indiana who created the todaysgirls.com website. Peek into their daily chats about plans, problems, boys, classes, parents, the swim team, and a million of real-life issues heading their way at cyberspeed. It takes faith in each other and God to face today's challenges with laughter, tears, and a lot of fun. Todaysgirls.com. Real girls, real faith. I'm Terry Squires, creator of the Todaysgirls.com series, and won't you join me today to impact the lives of teen girls? And let's reach them together at www.todaysgirls.com.
Welcome back, and our music was going a little too long. I had to shut that off, sorry. Anyway, we're back here on the show, and we're talking about God's throne, what you didn't know about God's throne. Let it out of your box. I want him, Mr. Darrell McManus, to explain what does it mean about let it out of your box.
Well, in other words, most ministers that I've heard, and I don't speak, you know, against another. I mean, there's anointed ministers. They just don't have this revelation. Many ministers refer to God's let's go to the throne room. And according to what I see in Scripture, it's not a room.
Hmm.
How about this Scripture? Heaven is my throne.
Wow.
Heaven is, not contains, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. You see, we just haven't had a lot. We hadn't had enough scripture on this subject.
Wow.
And so if heaven is his throne, we're not going into a little room.
And there's not enough room for the earth to contain his throne.
That's right. As a matter of fact, this is what I'm going to get you thinking in a different direction.
Good.
Revelation says that heaven is not a square. The New Jerusalem is not a square. It's a cube. It's 1,500 miles wide, long, and high. And so the Lord showed me, he said, son, one reason why there's got to be a new heaven, and this is, when it says heaven, it's Shemayim is the Hebrew word. There's three heavens. The One New Man Bible is most accurate I've seen. It doesn't say that there will be a new heaven. It says there will be a new sky, because the sky is the first heaven. Hmm. Third heaven's perfect, where God lives. And so I researched, and I found out that did some research, and the highest you can go if you went straight up and still be in the earth's atmosphere is 600 miles. Well, the New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles high. The Lord said the New Jerusalem won't fit here. That's why there's got to be a new sky and a new earth for heaven to come down. So heaven is not a plane. It's a cube. Neither is his throne a plane. It's got levels.
Oh, wow.
And it moves. And it's got wheels. You don't need wheels. You don't need wheels unless you move. You know, many of you listen to the broadcast, you probably have some type of vehicle with wheels. Why does it have wheels? Because it moves. And so God's not in a room. He is on his throne, and his throne moves. Yes, he rides. Amen.
Segway has nothing on God's throne. Those little carts that you stand on and roll around.
That's right. That's right. And he's riding today, and he's looking for a person. He's looking for a people. He's looking for a church. He's looking for a meeting that will get into Tehillah praise, heaven's praise. And when they access heaven's praise, then he comes in the middle. Psalm 22:3, he enthrones. The word is Yeshab. He sits on his throne on that kind of praise.
So tell us a little bit about how we can get into that praise to bring them in.
Well, you know, there's different words for praise, and I deal with a number of those words. You know, in my book, you know, there's the halal praise, and the halal is like when you can jump start getting into the presence of God. Halal means to basically be a fanatic for the Lord. You don't need any kind of feeling, you know. Well, I sense the presence of God. No, when you just start halloing, hallelujah, when you get up in the morning, Lord, I praise you, I give you glory, I give you honor, I magnify your name, you're glorious. There's no one like you in all the earth. That's what David was doing when his wife, Michal, made fun of him and God cursed her and closed her womb. He was just fanatically praising the Lord. How do you know you're in halal? You're in halal. You're not in halal if you're louder at a ball game. If you don't exceed that for the Lord, you're not halaling. It means let everything go and just fanatically praise him. So that's what halal means. And then there's the todah. Todah means to extend the hands with thanksgiving. Yadah means to open your hands and praise him. There's the shabak, which means to address him in a loud tone. There's the barak, which means to kneel and to bless him. And there's the shakah, which is worship. There's the zamar, which means to play the strings. There are times when God won't move a certain way until the strings are played in the meeting. That's why God used David with a harp. Now we got electronic strings. And there are times where God wants the strings right, and then he'll move a certain way. But all of these types of praise are to get us into the Tehillah. And noticing, you remember Jehoshaphat, and most people are familiar with that. You know, send the singers first, and then the Lord sent ambushments against the enemy. If you'll study that story where God spoke to Jehoshaphat, they didn't start off Tehillah. They started off with other types of praise, but it was not until they got into Tehillah, which was heaven's praise. In other words, how do you know you're in Tehillah? You lose track of time. You actually enter God's realm. You see, God doesn't live in time. Time lives in him. And so when you're in the God zone, time is a non-factor. When you get into that realm, you have entered into Tehillah. When you get into Tehillah, then God's throne will come down upon that kind of praise.
Tell us about the levels of God's thrones.
Well, the bottom level is, you know, Ezekiel, when he was looking up in Ezekiel chapter 1, here's the context. It said he saw visions of God the Father. But the first thing he saw was not the Father. He saw a whirlwind. See, God travels in whirlwinds. He hides his glory. I mean, even in with the children of Israel, the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day, and then he hid Moses in the cleft of the rock so that he couldn't see his fullness of his glory. He would have died. And so then he kept looking, saw that whirlwind, and there was fire and lightning coming out of it. And then it was moving down towards the earth. And then these four creatures came out, and they each had a wheel, and the wheels touched the earth. He kept looking up. He didn't see God yet. Above the heads of the living creatures was an expanse, and above that was the semblance of a throne. And on the throne was the semblance of a man. You go read Ezekiel chapter 1. This is all what I'm telling you is in there and more. And so what did he say? He saw visions of God. Well, a man? Well, God made us in his image. It's going to shock a lot of people when you see the Father. He's going to look a whole lot like him because you were made in his image. He has eyes. Theologians try to spiritualize all this. God, you know, Psalm 91, that he'll cover you with his feathers. God's got feathers. Those living creatures are his bodyguards. He's got feathers all around. The seraphims have feathers. Living creatures around the throne have feathers. The cherubim have feathers, the wings. They're guarding his presence. They have eyes in every direction. You read it.
Yes.
The wheels are full of eyes. What is that? God doesn't miss anything. There's nothing that crosses that threshold that's not holy. Amen. That's why the scripture says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. Amen. Righteousness is our standing. Holiness is our walk. Mm. Amen.
Mm.
Glory to God. I mean, I could go on and on. I know we're limited on time, but that's the bottom view. And then the panoramic view is around the throne. The living creatures they're falling down. They're constantly saying, holy, holy, holy. Those cherubim, they never speak anything. They don't say a word. What's their job? Their job is to move the throne and to guard the coals of fire. The seraphim, they're guarding above the throne. So this whole entourage is moving, and God's bodyguards are all around it. And so when you get into the fullness of his presence, you're at the throne, and those feathers are covering you, Psalm 91.
Mm. So all these bodyguards, tell us about them.
Well, you know, we as believers and ministers, we have to guard our walk. I have to guard the anointing on my life. I know Brother David has to guard you got to watch who you hang around. You got to watch who speaks into your life. You got to watch what you hear,
That's
what
true.
You look at. You know where that comes from? From my Father. He guards his holiness. He God's just not sitting up there. He has bodyguards. We say, oh, we got bodyguards and we've got pistols and all that. Ah, that's physical stuff.
Yeah.
God's got... One angel took out 185,000 humans. One. These are high-level angelic beings. Seraphim, living creatures, and cherubim. And they got eyes in every direction. That's literally, you know, the Bible talks about the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro. Yeah, he's got eyes all over the place. And he doesn't miss anything. Powerful, 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 powerful. We say, oh, well, Hollywood created creatures, or they got some movie, and give me a break. You don't know what a creature, you don't know, and they're called creatures, until you see one of God's.
Tell us a little bit about the creatures.
Yeah, well, they look dreadful. When Ezekiel saw, he was looking up, and it says that the rims on the wheels, I mean, these wheels are huge, they're way higher than him, just the wheels, and the rims were so high that they were dreadful, and they were full of eyes. Yes, God, you know why you like rims? Most people like good rims on their vehicles,
yeah.
Because you're just like your Father. God the Father's got rims on the wheels to his throne.
Hmm.
Amen.
That's a creature?
It's a creature. Each creature, which is a in chapter 1, he called them living creatures, but when you go to chapter 10 of Ezekiel, he will say, those were indeed cherubim. Those that I saw by the river Kabar were indeed cherubim. He gets further revelation. They're not just creatures. They're cherubim, and they each are in charge of a wheel. Amen. Yeah. Each wheel to the throne has a cherubim, high-level angelic being that operates it. And what do? They go wherever the Father, who's up above on the throne, tells them to go. He says, I want to go land in this meeting. I want to land in the United States, which I believe we're on the verge of, and bring the next great awakening to this country.
Mm.
I feel like that we're on the verge of that.
Yes.
I feel like there will also be judgment and a great awakening, and it will be at the same time, because some people will not turn to him unless there's some tragedy that happens.
Yep.
But it's going to release an all-out move of God, and I guarantee you his throne is going to be in the middle of it. When it's what was God talking about when Jesus is the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That's a model. The Lord's Prayer is in Luke 17. I mean, John chapter 17. That's the Lord praying. You want to know what Jesus prayed? Go to John 17. If you want to know how to pray, then go to Matthew 6. He said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wants heaven to come to the earth. Where's the highest level of kingdom authority? The throne.
Hmm.
Where's the highest level of power in the kingdom? The throne. What did the Pharaoh tell Joseph when he gave him the ring? He said, you'll be equal to me except when I'm on the throne. Because the highest level of kingdom authority is the throne.
Hmm. That's amazing. That's amazing. Tell us about the fire of God.
Well, you know, here's another thing. There are the Holy Spirit manifest in front of the throne through seven fires, seven very specific fires. And the very first fire is the fire of the Spirit of the Lord. Let me just go through these. The second is the Spirit of wisdom. Wow. The third is the Spirit of understanding. When you come to the throne, you can't get to the throne without crossing these fires. Each of these fires are anointed flows, and God wants these flows to be in our life and ministry. The fourth fire is the Spirit of counsel. The fifth fire is the Spirit of strength. The sixth fire is the Spirit of knowledge. And the seventh fire is the fire of the Spirit of the Lord. And it says in Isaiah that he majors. All seven of these fires was on Jesus. And Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do also, and greater, because I go to the Father. What did he go to the Father for? To send us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is burning with seven specific flames right now in front of the throne. And when that throne comes down, all seven of these fires will be released in our life, in our ministry. It will change you forever.
Mm. Now, for those that don't dwell on this or don't understand this, this is a good book for you to get.
Amen.
It's something that you should understand and at least get a concept of what's going on in the heavenlies.
Exactly.
And what's going around you, and where your praise, how your praise affects the throne of God, and how God is in your praise.
Exactly.
And tell them again how they can get the book.
Go to Darrell McManus, DarrellMcManus.com. And if you need an e-book, go to christianbook.com. And you can just start typing my name, MCMA. Once you get to that, my name will pop up. Boom, there. Both books will actually be there, the two that are already out.
And now you can get this book also at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of your online retailers as well.
That's right.
And we just want to encourage you to get it. No matter where you get it, just get it.
Just get it.
It'll change your life. Give a prayer before we leave, my brother.
Father God, I pray for everyone listening right now. And if you're listening and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, just call out to him. I want you to just say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Lord of my life. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. I repent of sin. I turn away from that, and I make you my Lord and Savior. You did that right now. A miracle took place. You have been born again. Now, Father, I also believe there's a healing anointing and an infilling anointing. I just release a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Those that want to be filled right now, let them receive your power in their own prayer language. And those that are sick in body, I particularly in the head area, God's doing miracles all the way from the neck all the way up. I praise you. If you had trouble with your neck or your head, begin to do something you couldn't do. I believe God's healing somebody's deaf ear right now. Just receive your healing right now and be made whole in Jesus' name.
Amen. Give your website one more time, my brother.
DarrellMcManus.com.
I tell you, it's a good thing to have men of God like this in your life. You can have this man in your life as well every day. And we're going to be starting something new that we're just going to announce right now. It's going to be called Mentoring or MinisterMentoring.com. If you're a minister, a man of faith, woman of faith, someone that just is starting ministry or may have been in ministry for quite some time, and you do not have someone out there that can talk to you and help counsel you, but also just help encourage you. We're going to have a site. It's going to be only $29. For the full year access, and we're going to have a community on social media, and you'll be able to go on there and you'll be able to talk to someone and hopefully make a friend of faith. And we're going to have Bible studies as well. Maybe Darrell will host a couple of Bible studies to get people encouraged.
Sure, absolutely.
And one thing we're trying to do is we're trying to create tools that will help you. One of it, of course, is Pure Fire Bible Institute, and it's starting to look good. My new assistant, Mr. Ted Bragg, is awesome. I like to say I'm bragging about Bragg.
Amen.
Because he's doing a great job. He's doing a very good job on it, and just God divinely brought him to me, and we are just working well together. But also, the Pure Fire Bible Institute is just one of the things. We're going to give you courses that you just normally aren't going to get anywhere else. You're going to get years of experience. How many years have you been in ministry now, brother?
Over 40.
That's 40 years. Gary Wood, 60 years. David Hope, 40 years. David Yanez, 25 years. So it's like you're getting all this knowledge and faith. And the courses are going to be very reasonable. $30.
Yeah.
You can take a course. And we do have one that you can pay monthly to take all the courses. So they're just different ways. Our job is to get the gospel out there, to train you and equip you. This is one way that we can train people around the world without having to be directly in front of you every hour. It releases us to do other things for God. But also we're able still to communicate with you, whether through the mentoring site or whether through the college site. It doesn't matter. We're going to help. We're going to be a blessing. Because why? We want to impart what we have.
Amen.
And we want to put it in you. We want to give you the faith that you need. We want to give you revelation that you may not have had. And it's iron sharpens iron. So does another friend sharpen one another's continent. So we have to be there for one another. And a lot. And I'll tell you what. I've been a Lone Ranger all my life in a way. But I've always had men of God that I can come to and sit with and be a part of. I never really separated. I just really made sure, especially in the recent years now, I have so many men of God that I can just call up. Men of God that people say, well, how do you know this guy? He's anointed. He's gifted. Because God brought him to me.
That's right.
And I value that relationship. But see, a lot of times you're not going to get to that relationship. And we're going to be able to present that kind of relationship to you through our sites and through what we're doing in the school and the mentoring. So I want to encourage you. PurifierBibleInstitute.com is where that is. And I'll give you the mentoring thing once that's up. It's not up yet. So we're still getting things rolling on it. But anyway, thank you for listening. And we will see you next week. God bless you. I'd like to thank Daryl McManus, my guest. Thank you, Daryl.
Oh, it's a joy being here today.
Amen. God bless you. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.